Hi guys, this is the Rose Quinn podcast episode number 4, and it's been a while. Things have been a little crazy. The job that I was like speaking to you in code about in the previous episode, I ended up getting, which is super awesome. And so I start training for it next year and had to move again. And it's just been like a big whirlwind of travel and moving and just like being alive. So that's why it's been a while, but I've got a couple episodes already lined up for you. Some really great authors. I've got an author that, you guys will hear our conversation in this episode, and we've got some really awesome ones lined up at the beginning of the new year, and episodes will be more regular after the beginning of the new year. That I can promise you. Or maybe I shouldn't promise you, but also there's going to be a fun one that's like something different. My friend Christina and I do a little episode for you. She's not an author. She's just hysterical, and we've been friends forever, so that'll be a fun one, I think, because we are funny. At least we like to think we are. But this is something I wanted to talk about when I wanted this episode to come out during NaNoWriMo, but it didn't, clearly, because we're now almost, you know, we're past the middle of December. But something that I struggled with, I don't know if struggle is the right word, because I'm really proud of the novel I wrote during NaNoWriMo, but something I noticed was that my middle of my story, I just kind of got stuck there, and it just felt kind of like boring and blah, and it also, you know, was timed with like me coming back home and where I was in it, and so I had, you know, I took a break, but I also did some research. I went online. I was like, okay, what can I find out about what's happening to me and why my middle is like falling apart? And I went to some really great blogs, and I found some really awesome stuff that just kind of piqued my inspiration and helped me look at my story in a different way to be able to keep going and make my middle not so slumpy and terrible. So, I mean, we all know the basic structure of a story, right? There's the beginning, the middle, the end. At the beginning, we find out who our main character is and what, you know, problem is thrown at them and like what problem they need to set out to defeat or whatever, you know, like what their goal is. We find it out, and then they start to go towards that. And in the end, the protagonist figures their crap out, and they overcome the conflict, and they achieve the goal, whatever. Like, we all know that. The middle is, like, is everything in between. It's how they get there. It's what happens, and it has to be interesting. You know, we typically think of it, of a story in a three-part act, but the way I like to look at it is something I heard at a writing conference, is a four-part act. Setup, response, action, and resolution. I feel like I've talked about this on an episode before, but I'm just going to refresh everybody. Setup, we intro the hero. We set up, we foreshadow. There's the stakes, the quest, the inciting incident at the end of that first act. The response is how the hero reacts to the change resulting from that first plot point. Attack, the hero proactively attacks, and then the villain ramps up as well. Resolution, hero steps up, steps in, confronts, resolves. But I feel like that helps me a little bit more break it up into big parts instead of having like little beginning, little end, ginormous middle that I have to fit everything into, you know? So I found two awesome blogs that there was a lot of things on there that really helped me just kind of like get out of my funk and get some more inspiration. One of them was Jackal Editing, and the title of the blog post was 8 Things Causing Your Sagging Middle. There was 2 that I identified with my NaNoWriMo novel this year. I mean, the main one was that your protagonist can't catch a break, which just means that like every obstacle they come up against, they get knocked down. You know, they're not getting any wins. Nothing good is happening to them. And that was something that I did in my NaNo novel this year. My character, man, everything bad was happening to her and nothing good was happening. And I was like, okay, this is actually super great and helps me look at how I need to add, you know, weave some more plot lines in there and make some good things happen. And that really helped. And I like what the Jackal Editing blog said. Readers lose faith in characters who can't pull out a win every now and then. Worse, after a while, it makes readers roll their eyes and all tension is lost. Which I've totally done in books before, where it's just like thing after thing after thing, the main character is like, can't do anything, you know? But I liked this point that was helped me think about it as well. She said, three obstacles of increasing difficulty is usually enough, which I thought that was pretty awesome. Just to be like, okay, yeah, I need three big conflicts, three big obstacles, instead of, you know, like 87, which I feel like mine had a lot. Okay, the other one is terribleminds.com. It's Chuck Wendig, and he's hysterical. And he has one that's 25 ways to fight your story's mushy middle. And I just picked my favorites. He's so funny, though. You guys have to go read it because all of his descriptions are just hysterical. I liked the one he titled it Opening Presents on Christmas Eve. My family did this, too, but he talks about it in there where we... his family would give them one present to open on Christmas Eve. I thought that that was really helpful in my novel because mine's a mystery novel, crime fiction mystery, and I liked it how he was like, you know, you're weaving all these different mysteries, all these different questions. Take one, give it to your reader, say, oh, here, this is it, we figured it out, which kind of also can play into another one he was talking about where fake a climax. And his description of it is exactly what you think it would be. But it makes sense, you know, fake that climax to where your reader's like, oh my gosh, how can anything better, bigger than this happen? But there's still 200 pages left in the book. So I really like that one. And that one helped me a lot because I have that in the novel I wrote for NaNoWriMo where I've got a lot of different lines, a lot of different, you know, a couple different mysteries, things, questions that we need answered. So it's like, okay, I can answer one. Maybe use that to fake a climax and then have the, obviously the end climax be way better than the faked one. Wouldn't we all like that? I love this, the one he titles Karate Kicks and Car Chases Chop Vroom Boom. See you guys? He's funny. But, he talks about how in the middle, approximate middle of the book, create like a kick-ass action sequence, one that is married to the plot, the story, the characters, but that is just, like, got everything that one would ever need on it. Or not, if it's not action, if it's not, like, a fighting scene or something, you know, something that creates a lot of tension, putting the character's mission or his life or, you know, the person they love or whatever in doubt or in harm's way. And this one, the last one that I'll talk about from him, I loved because this is what I just did with my my second finished novel, This Dead World. This is something I ended up doing, but he says rewrite the beginning. Wait, what? I'm just gonna read it because I really like what he says. He says, I'm sorry, did I just say rewrite the beginning in a list where we're talking about the middle? Oh, I did. I'm crazy like that. Crazy like a fox. Crazy like a fox wearing diapers and smoking cigarettes. The middle of any structure relies on a strong foundation, and if the foundation is wobbly, the middle will be weak. They say in screenwriting sometimes that the third act problems are often first act problems, but the reality is a lot of problems are first act problems. You need to go back to the beginning, rebuild the foundation, make it strong like Bull. He's so funny. Bull who wears body armor and shoots a bazooka. And this, I just was like, oh my gosh, that actually really helps. I went back to the beginning of my NaNo novel and I added something at the beginning. I made changes to the beginning and took out something to be able to make the middle stronger and to be able to, in turn, make it so my main character wasn't having every obstacle hit her down on the ground and she couldn't get back up, you know, and then another one would hit her. And that really helped me. So, because I feel like sometimes middles are so hard, but one thing I really like to do is look at it in that four-part act, setup, response, attack, resolution. And then some of these really were helpful because I feel like you're always told, you know, make every scene have tension. Or like I talked about it, I think in my first episode, where, you know, you look at things from a mentality of what could be worse for my character. And I feel like that's what I did, but it also kind of got me into this place where there wasn't enough good things happening to my character that I needed to make more good things happen to her. So go ahead, go look at Jackal Editing, which is where I got some of those, and then terribleminds.com. He's hysterical. Okay, so now to the awesome part. I love this lady that you guys are going to hear me talk to. She's so freaking sweet and so amazing. So she has two novels that are out on Amazon. Her name is K.A. Dowling. Her first name is Kelly, so you'll hear me call her Kelly, but her author name is K.A. Dowling. She has two books, The Changing Tide, which is book one, and then she has The Forbidden City, which is book two. They're both on Amazon. If you're part of Kindle Unlimited, which I adore and love because I read a book a day, they're both on Kindle Unlimited. They're already downloaded on my iPhone, even though I love books. Like, I feel like sometimes a terrible person because I love books. I love the smell of books. I love to buy books. I love to hold a book in my hand and turn the pages, but I read too many books, like, to buy books. All of books. You know, there are definitely books that I buy and books that I keep on my shelf, but Kindle Unlimited is sometimes just a better way for me to read books because I read so many of them that it's just more economical for me. Okay, but go ahead and follow her. Her Instagram is bittercresswriter. Her Twitter is K.A. Dowling, and that's K-A-Y-A-Y-D-O-W-L-I-N-G. Here is the lovely Kelly and I's conversation, so get to know her a little bit. Okay, so, Kelly, the first question, you know, is how you started writing. Why, when, kind of what was your experience, like your first true author experience?
Yeah, well, in kind of a roundabout way, this is, you know, a little bit of a personal aspect, is I mentioned this to you in our initial communication, that I lost my hearing when I was four. I had meningitis and didn't have anything to help me hear until I was nine. So it was a large lapse in where I didn't hear anything. You know, that's when kids are developing and making social connections. And so I really got into reading. And eventually I wanted to make my own worlds and my own stories. I started putting pen to paper and it sort of took off. So it's been a lifelong interest, hobby, and I, you know, started going to school and turning it into a profession. So now I write YA and NA fantasy. When it became kind of something I wanted to do as work and not just for fun is when I was in college, I majored in English and writing and sort of turned it into more of a marketable skill.
Yeah.
So yeah, I think that's pretty much it really sort of took off when I was little. I've been doing it forever. I've been writing stories my whole life.
I just think that that's like shows how special it is. Like for you, it really helped you during that time in your life when something was super hard and you had this really big challenge. And I think that, you know, being on the other side of it, not so much just reading, but you got to create, like you said, your own world, your own characters, like this own set, like this own place where you could go and escape. I think that just shows how important it is.
Absolutely. And I think it's that for so many people. I've met so many great people through doing this, and a lot of them have used writing and storytelling as an outlet for whatever's going on, you know, in the real world. And it's such a fabulous escape, or reading even. So
it really is. It's so nice to just be like, I don't like what's happening today. I'm going to work on my novel because everything makes more sense there.
It's so good.
So, so your first book, was it published in 2016 or 2015?
Yes. Yep. So two years, 1 year ago.
That's so awesome. So, and you self-published it.
I did, yes.
Can you tell me a little bit about that? You know, like why you decided to go self-published, kind of how the process was for you?
Yeah, sure. So I actually get that question a lot. I think a lot of people think that you're either for or against one or the other, you know, yes. If you're on one team or the other. I think that there's pros and cons to each. For Rogue Elegance series, there's three books, and the first one came out last year, and it's a passion project, sort of. It's really been very near and dear to my heart, and when it came time to self-publish, I really wanted full creative control over the story. So yeah. I did my research and decided that self-publishing was the best way for me to do that. So that's sort of how I decided to go with that. But I think different projects have different needs, for sure. And I'm currently prepping to query my newest project with agents. So it really just, it's what works for you and for the project.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like that. I mean, I think that I've definitely been one of those people who's been like, oh, no self-publishing ever. Like, you know, I've been one of those person who's like, yes or no on it, because I didn't really understand. And I really like Janet Reed. She's a literary agent at New Leaf Literary, mm-hmm. but she's got the Query Shark website.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, yes. I love her. I met her 2 years ago in New York.
Oh my gosh. So jealous. I love her so much. But you know, like through reading her critiques of people's queries and just her other like normal agent blog, you know, I feel like the process of being self-published, and it can, she, you know, from her perspective, it can hurt you if it's not done well. If your book is just published with no editing, you know, only has like 3 purchases. She's like, you know, that's something that can definitely, if you ever try and get it published traditionally, can hurt you. So it's always been something where I'm like, do I really want to do that? But then I sit there and I write my query letter 20 times and I'm like, oh my gosh, I wish I could just pay to have my book edited and just circumvent this whole process.
I know, and I've been there, and it's definitely scary, kind of venturing out on your own. It's, you know, it's a full-time job in its own. It's not like when you get it out there on your own, you're skipping all of these magical loopholes, and you're yeah. suddenly blowing up. So it's definitely, you're taking a risk in doing it, but I think it's so valuable if you have a story that you want to tell, and you just want to do it on your own, you have it. You know, for Rogue Elegance, for me, was that I really wanted to tell it my way and on my time, and I was able to do that, so it worked.
Yeah, that's awesome. And the second book for Rogue Elegance came out in August, right?
Yes, it did. The Forbidden City is book 2, and The Changing Tide is book 1, so, you know, I've been putting out one a year in the series.
And so the third one, are you working on it now, or?
Yes, the third one is not my NaNoWriMo manuscript, but it's supposed to be coming out this summer. Awesome. All goes well.
Yes. So can you give us like a little blurb what the series is about?
Sure, yeah, I can. So the series is a YA fantasy, and it's told from multiple character point of views, but it focuses on my protagonist, Emerella the Rogue. She's a gypsy and lives in this very small town island. And she wants more out of life and adventure.
Yeah.
And thinks that she wants to be a pirate. She really thinks that she wants that. And when a series of accidents, I'll call them, cause her to wind up on board a ship, she finds out that what she was imagining piracy to be really isn't at all what it is. And it's actually quite dangerous.
Yes.
And so the trilogy follows her journey through all these mishaps, and she and her razor sharp tongue. She's a little bit sassy. Problem after problem.
That's
awesome. So yeah, the book follows her through, you know, through all of her ups and downs as she figures out what's going on.
That sounds great. I love that. I find it so interesting, just the different worlds that people come up with. Because sometimes I'm like, I'm not creative enough. And then one of the novel that I'm trying, you know, going through the query process with is a dystopian book. So it's like set, it's like rooted in, you know, our normal, you know, world. But I'm like, oh, but I could do this and I could do this because it's my world. And who cares? Like, I can make it what I want to be. It's so fun.
I know. It's so great, right?
That's
great. I love dystopia. That's such a fantastic genre.
I know. It's like one of my favorites. And I feel like it can be, I feel like there's a lot of it out there, but I feel like it's popular for a reason, because people love thinking about, you know, the crazy things that could happen to our world.
Yep, and it's a more palatable way, I think, to deal with the real stuff that's going on. You know, Yes. It's a little bit fantastical, but it still deals with the things that we're afraid of happening.
For sure. For me, it's zombies. I am, like, deathly afraid of zombies. It's like The Walking Dead. I love that TV show, but I have to binge watch a whole season, like, in a day, because otherwise, if I watch an episode every week, like, I'll just be terrified of zombies for 12 weeks. Instead of,
I'm
like,
right there with you.
Just for, like, a few days, because zombies are, like, the most terrifying thing in the world to me.
Absolutely. I totally agree.
So you are doing NaNoWriMo this year, right?
I am, yes.
How's it going?
Well, so far, so good. This is my first official year participating. I've done it in the past sort of as a... like, on the sidelines. Like, I'll write, but I'm not going to commit to anything.
Right. And like, I'll just try it.
Yeah, I'll try it out and see. And this year I wanted to commit. I'm working on a new adult urban fantasy retelling of Peter Pan. That was a mouthful.
Oh, I feel like I've seen that on your Twitter feed. That's so fun.
Probably. I've been putting it out there all over the place, kind of just hounding people with it. But yeah, I was nervous to participate for sure, because I tend to have a difficulty with structured time, which is how NaNoWriMo is formatted. You know, Yes. You have these word count goals, and that's scary for me, commitment. But the community is so great, and there's such a great sense of accountability, and I've met so many cool writers through it, so I've been loving it. I've been getting work done.
That's awesome. I did NaNoWriMo last year, and that's how I wrote the first 50,000 words of my dystopian novel.
Yeah.
And it was so exciting. I found out about it when I went to the Writer's Digest Novel Writing Conference, and I was like, what is this thing I've never heard of before? But it was super fun, and I feel like that... I don't always write 1,667 words a day. So some days I write more to make up for it, but it's, like, nice to have a goal. It's like, oh, I should at least write this much a day, but, like, I went, like, 5 days without writing anything. It was so bad, and so now I'm a little bit behind, but I'm like, okay, I'll just write, you know, a little bit more today and a little bit more the next day to try and make up for it.
Binge write.
Yes, binge write. I try.
Yeah. No, I know. It's definitely, I do, what I've loved most about it is I do 2 times a week Twitter writer sprints. I don't know if you've seen those going around. And it's like you get on this group chat with all of these other writers, and you do a high intensity focus period where you're just for 20 minutes, you're all seeing how many words you can get down.
Wow.
And at the end of the time, you come back, you chat, you share some of the lines you like, you kind of give each other a little self-esteem boost, and then you get back to it. And that really works for me, because I feel like, okay, well, if I don't do it, people are going to say, she didn't even write.
Right. That's awesome. So, no, I hadn't seen those yet, but that sounds super fun. I feel like it's hard for me, because sometimes I get into a place with the novel I'm currently working on, which is a crime fiction novel.
Cool.
Yeah, and I, like, get to these parts where I'm like, oh, yeah, I know exactly what I want to have happen, because I'm a pantser. I don't plan. Like, I have an idea of it, but I don't plan it at all. And so then there are other times where I have to, like, take a step back and, like, reread some pages to, like, really find where I'm going. And sometimes that can take me a couple days. So it's hard. I'm like, oh, I get myself a little bit more behind.
Someone told me, and I wish that I remembered who it was so I can give them credit, but someone told me that NaNoWriMo is, like, to think of it as piling sand into a sandbox, just throwing it on in there, and then after, when it's done and you get the 50,000 words, then you can start building sandcastles. And I cannot remember who said it, but I think that's so true, and that's what we're doing. We're just sort of getting it all in there, and we can shape it later.
Oh, I think that's so true. Last year, I wrote my 50,000 words during November, and then my manuscript ended up being about 90,000 words. So through the process of going back through it, I added just so much, because I was able to be like, okay, this is like the skinny skeleton of my story, and now let's add some subplots here, and let's make, you know, make it more interesting and you know, make things worse for my characters to make it more dynamic. And I ended up adding so much more, which was like, okay, I can do this. As long as I, like, get through the main... the main skinny of it, then I can add more as I go back. I try not to ever edit as I go along because then I'll never finish anything.
I know. That's my weak point right there, is yeah. not going back and editing. It's so challenging because sometimes you read a sentence and you're like, man, that stinks. I need to fix this. I can't move forward.
I always like it because I do my writing in Google Docs, and I just will like highlight it and write a little comment. And they're so funny when I go back. I'm like, this is bad. I'm like, Rose, yeah. what are you doing? Like, no, this is the worst sentence I've ever written. But I try and plow through it because otherwise I really will get stuck in editing. And it's like, I need to finish.
Yeah, it's so easy to get stuck. And that's why I'm loving doing this month, because there's people around you who will tell you, will say, they see you getting stuck. Like, no, keep writing, keep right. going.
Keep going, keep doing it. It's really yeah, awesome. Yeah, so
it's great.
Yeah. So are you a planner or are you a pantser or some combination of the two?
I am 100% a pantser. There is nothing about me that is a planner. I get a general idea and I run with it.
Yeah.
If I outline, it looks like me talking to myself in the car or the shower. That's outlining for me.
Perfect.
And I write in parking lots. I write in line at Starbucks. I write while my infant is napping on the go. And that's it. That's about as official as I get.
I love it. I used to be like a hardcore planner. And I felt like it really got me like stuck in trying to force things. And, you know, I was like, oh, I want this ending and I'll make things work until I get this ending. But then I had to be like, no, that ending really doesn't work for the characters or the story. So I feel like last year was my first year of really pantsing it. And it has been so awesome because now I love my manuscript. I love my story. And the novels that I've written before that were very heavily planned, I like despise and can never look at because they really bother me.
Right, exactly. It's so easy. We keep talking about getting stuck, and it's so easy to get in your own way when you're writing.
Yes.
And that's, for me, with pantsing and just writing in general, I'm kind of different in the sense that I write the ending first. That's the only Ooh. Thing that I know that's going to happen, is I know where the character is going to end up. It's just a matter of how do they get there. So I kind of start walking down that road, knowing where the destination is, and the story comes up along the way, you know.
That's so cool. The way I do it, I like to write it from the middle of the book. So like,
oh, cool.
When I was at the novel Writer's Day, just novel writing conference last year, there was an author who says he explained something called the mirror moment, where if you look at the middle of most books or movies, it's the point where your main character has to look at themselves and their situation and figure out who they are and what they're going to do and how they're going to change for the better or not change. So I've, like, with the My NaNoWriMo this year, I knew where I wanted my character to be in the middle of the story, and I was like, okay, now I just need to get her there, and now I can see where she needs to go from that point. But I think it's kind of interesting to do it that way, because now I've got, like, you know, you've got the main plot points and the parts that start the story, but it's exciting for me to have something in the middle too that's like, oh my goodness, such a shocker.
Yeah. I love hearing how different people put it together, because everybody has such a different perspective and a different way they put the words down on paper, you
yeah.
know?
Yeah, I know. I've been trying to think about, like, even how my book is ending, and I feel like that I can't even think about it. But that's something that I need to try and, like, think about, okay, how would this end and how would everybody get there? Because I like to switch things up, too, because I feel like what's so interesting, I saw this tweet the other day of someone who was like, how do pantsers even write novels? Like, they can't even keep track of the plot. I'm like, okay, whatever. There could be an argument for that. But I also think it's just, you know, a lot of, like I was, you know, said for my novel last year, a lot of it goes when you go back through it. Like, you fix things, you put things more, you make, you know, strengthen the plot. Because I think we as writers, and we have that imagination to create worlds and stories and ideas. But then, of course, we need help when we go back through it and be like, oh, okay, that doesn't make sense. Like, let me fix that.
Yeah, no, exactly. I think that's why I use Scrivener. I don't know what platform you said Google Docs. Mm-hmm. I'm Scrivener, and I like that it has that sort of note card set up, because the way I write, I'm constantly like, this doesn't go here, this goes way back here, and I yeah. should move a whole chapter or scene, because yeah, it does kind of get a little discombobulated, but that's what the editing process is for, and that's when it all comes together, and you kind of make everything into a neat little bow.
Right. Yeah, it's so fun. I just... even though I'm behind on NaNoWriMo by like 5,000 words, I'm trying not to stress out about it because I'm not doing true NaNoWriMo. It's not like I started a new manuscript like this one I was already working on. So, you know, which is fine. Like, I just hit 40,000 words on it. So I was pretty excited about that. I was like, okay, I'm behind on my words, but I hit 40,000. So I'll give myself a little bit of a break on that one.
Yeah, I mean, 40,000 by what day is today? The
11th?
That's fantastic.
It's very exciting.
That's a good word number.
Yes. Let's see. I think that was all the questions I had.
Okay, yeah. Those are great questions. Good conversation from it.
Yes. Okay, but when your next book comes out, you should let me know, and I'll, you know, I know you said it's supposed to be next summer, but still, let me know. We're going to stay connected, and I'll give, like, a plug for it, because I love doing that. Like, the Erin, who was on my last podcast, her book came out, and I made sure to post it, because I just think it's awesome, you know? And I've been trying to look more into self-publish and query. I just feel like querying takes so much out of you. Like, I haven't done it in like 2 weeks.
Oh my gosh.
It's like, yeah, you have to research every agent. It's like, what does this one want? What does this one want? And then you have to, it's just so much work.
The process is so disheartening for sure. I much prefer kind of the marketing myself and if I'm going to put my energy into something, I like putting energy into selling my own product rather than trying to hawk it on someone else
who
will take it somewhere. And I kind of like that control. Like, even for the Changing Tide in the Forbidden City this year, I ended up partnering with this awesome woman, Dolly, from a company named Dollish Polish. She's a, like, cruelty free vegan nail polish company, and she
cool.
did a, she was so awesome. She did this limited edition line inspired by my book.
What?
And yeah, so there's a, you can wear, you know, nail polish with my characters' names on it that's
yes.
inspired by their personalities. It's so cool. And like, the things like that that I feel like if I was, I pulled myself out of the querying process a long time ago, and I've had so much time to invest in those kind of relationships and cross promotion and getting myself out there in creative ways versus writing the same old form letter over and over again,
right.
hoping someone sees me.
Well, and I love that because it keeps you in the, like, I know that, you know, being self-published, you, it's a business, it's an entrepreneurial thing, but it's like you said, you get to be creative and market yourself. And that's a lot of why I started this podcast, not just because, you know, well, because I wanted to connect with other authors, but also I was like, well, this could be a good platform to talk with other authors. But if ever I decide to go self-published, a way to promote myself and my writing instead of,
absolutely,
you know, just trying to do it on the street corner. Being like,
yeah,
read
absolutely.
My book,
no,
read
absolutely.
My book.
It's a great way to get out there.
Yeah. But thank you so much for chatting with me. This has been so fun.
Thank you.
All right, you guys. This has been episode 4 of the Rose Quinn podcast. And I'm super excited to get this out to you. I feel it's been weighing heavy on my shoulders, but you're going to have another episode in 2 weeks. That's going to be what I'm going to try to do, bi-weekly episodes. And next week, you're going to hear from my friend Abigail Carlson. We talk, and she's another author, and I adore her. And you guys will be getting that episode in 2 weeks. And then I have some really awesome authors lined up for you as we keep going. But one that I think will be really exciting, and I'm just going to plug this movie because it's the best I've seen, but I went to go see a screening of a movie called Forever My Girl. It's based on a book by an author named Heidi McLaughlin. She lived in Portland. She grew up in Portland, and it's the freaking sweetest movie, and it made me cry, and just like, I just love love, and so I love these sorts of movies. But go read the book now before the movie comes out, and then write down on your calendar the date for the movie. It comes out, I want to say January 19th is when it comes out. Go watch the trailer, go follow her and the movie and everything, because it's so freaking good and it just is the best. But next year on the podcast, she's going to be on here and we're going to learn from her, and we're both from Portland and I think that's super cool. So go ahead and rate, review, and subscribe. It really helps me so much if you guys give me a 5-star rating on whatever you're listening to this on. I'm now on most podcast directories. I'm on Spotify, which is pretty cool. But rate, review, subscribe, follow me on Instagram, Rose Quinny, Quinny, and on Twitter. And reach out to me if you guys have questions or want to be on my podcast. I love to chat with you. Thank you so much. Bye.